The anomalies are conclusive proof that couch buyers exist in a podcast as real and solid as those we already know about. Welcome to Four Seasons and a Funeral, a podcast about shows that had four good seasons. Today we're talking about season four, episode three of the next evolution of science fiction, Primeval. I'm Charlie, and I'm joined by David Uwu and Nick.
I'm David Uwu.
And I'm Nick. Fortunately, once again, not Uwu.
You were Uwu just last week.
I was. Man, it was hard. It's okay though. I got over my Uwu illness.
Sorry, you were hard because you were Uwu?
I was like, please use a different word. Instead of I was hard.
Uwu notices you're hard.
Ooh.
God is dead and we killed him.
Uwu Nietzsche is, I think, my favorite version of Nietzsche. I finally sold my couch.
Yay!
This fucking couch has been sitting in my basement for like a year, and I've been too lazy to list it, and then I finally listed it, and someone paid me $100 to take away this shit couch.
So, Charlie, I'm curious, how many people messaged you being like, I'll take it away for you for $25? And by $25, I mean you pay them $25.
Not a lot. Some people, like, inquired about it. One person, I sent them, they want to know the condition. I was like, it's in fine condition. It's not good. They're like, will you take 75? And I will take it. You could take it for free, but you have to ask for it. So I was like, yeah, 75 works. They asked for more photos, and then they were going to just ghost me. And I was like, you still coming by to get it? And they went, no. And then this dude, like yesterday, was, hey, can I come by tomorrow and pick it up? I'm like, yes, please, God.
Absolutely.
So take now there's this couch.
Now there's space in the basement again. It's beautiful. But yeah.
I'm proud.
That money's going to go straight into like Easter dinner.
Fair enough. It's coming up. It's almost Easter time.
Oh, hell yeah. We get a short work week.
We do. If you come into the office, you get an extra short week. Yeah.
Easter Friday. Yeah.
Oh, is that next week? Dang.
Yes, it is.
Easter is the last weekend.
That's
early
cool.
Easter.
I should go do something.
And it's important to know if winter's going to extend, if Jesus comes out of his tomb and sees his shadow. Five
of
more
course.
Weeks of winter.
Are you allowed to celebrate Easter, Charlie, because you're celebrating Atheist Day today?
Exactly.
Yes. Yes, I am. Because I don't celebrate Easter religiously. I do it for the chocolate.
I was like, I do it for the statutory holiday.
Fair enough. Nah. It's nice. I'm looking forward to the short week.
Me too.
What's everyone been up to?
See if I can cut down the amount of work I do from 2 hours to 1 hour.
Ooh. David, how much backpack hero can you play in a short work week?
Oh, no.
Not that much, because I still got to go into the fucking office. It's just a lot of Mahjong on my phone.
I did re-download Mahjong Soul.
Oh, it's so much fun. It's such a good just throw a random amount of time into it, because you just, like, get horrendously pissed off when someone reaches three rounds in a row. It's just like infuriating. And I'm like, just one more game.
I'll get him this time. Never mind, I did not.
And I've been in a 4-game losing streak, and I need to put the phone down. Put the phone down. Alrighty.
Nick, what have you been up to?
Oh man, I played 4 hours of Frisbee, which is like a normal amount of Frisbee for me to play between our recordings. It's only one difference. It's not been long since we recorded.
Audience, we recorded yesterday. It has been less than 24 hours since we last recorded.
And I spent, you know, over one fifth of the time since we last recorded playing Frisbee. It's been great.
Jesus.
Our team should have done better than we did, which was a shame.
So like an actual literal skill.
There were some skill issue moments. We finished 1-4. There was only one game that was completely not winnable. The other three, we lost on universe in one of them. So game was tied, whistle gets blown, you play at the point. We lost on that one. And then we lost our first two games as well. And both of those were like completely winnable games. We just kind of dug ourselves into holes, / we didn't have good team chem at the start of the day. So is what it is, but it was good. It was a fun time. Would play more Frisbee again. But also not right now. Right now, my body needs to not play Frisbee for, you know, the next like 12 hours at least.
The mind is willing, but the flesh is weak.
Yeah. And not even weak and spongy, just like brittle. I don't need
the flesh is brittle? That's concerning, my man.
It's fine. what about you? How's life been, David?
Pretty good. There is a community center, like city/public library, near where I live that had its grand opening today. And as part of that, my building company decided to go and like help with the grand opening, and they rented food trucks, and I got an email from like the building saying that they'll be complimentary food trucks. So I decided to go like take a look and see what the free food is. It was literally just a single meal ticket for a choice of a churro, a hot dog, or extended potato fries, like tornado potato fries. So I got a hot dog.
Nice.
I got some steps in, got a free hot dog, and then walked home.
The best.
Nice. Oh, man.
All right.
Charlie, you sold the couch.
I sold the couch.
Let's go.
The best news I can. It's wild how much space is now available in this basement. It's just the ping pong table that's up against that wall.
You should bring that ping pong table back down.
We had the only time we used it is when you came over to help assemble it. We're not ping pong people.
Was it worth?
Which worth I it? Understand that ping pong people sounds a lot more racist than I intended.
Me when I watch Three Body Problem and there's no ping pong people on screen. I'm allowed to say this.
By this, David, do you mean like either like Swedish or like Asian people? Is that the two kinds?
There's like two Northern kinds European of people countries. In this world, Swedish or ping pong people.
No, that's the thing. The Northern Europeans are also good at ping pong.
Nick 2024.
Nope.
Quote him on it.
Nick, you gotta stop calling Asian people ping pong people. It's not okay.
You're right. It is 2024. I gotta stop doing that.
It's current year. I know we told you Oriental wasn't okay, but the alternative is also not okay.
Oh, no.
What's that something? Because, like, man, we're going to blow through this episode. Yeah. My sister recommended me a book that I tried listening to called Cinder.
It sounds like a YA novel.
It's very YA. Yes, yes, yes. But it's Cinderella, but cyberpunk Asian themed. So
Asian,
it takes place in New Beijing. It's very much Cinderella, except Cinderella is a cyborg and she has a robot feet, right? And I had to stop reading it because it was just, it had the problem of where the main character is just incredibly whiny about their situation and does nothing to like better that problem, like that, like the yeah. situation they're in, which is just, I feel like it's also just a classic misunderstanding of the actual Cinderella story, because like Cinderella, the actual story, is meant to be like a fable where it's just like, yes, you can be in a terrible situation and people can shit all over you, but if as long as you remain a good person at your core, good things could happen for you, or you yeah. will be rewarded for being a good person. Because people complain that Cinderella is like one of the princesses that doesn't like do anything in her story, but like that's kind of the point of her story.
Yeah, right? The point is she is just inherently a good person no matter what, and that if you kind of delusionally keep your head down and do good things will happen to you.
Yeah.
I say kind of delusionally because the world is a harsh, cruel place and you are never given.
Oh, yeah. I mean, that's 100% of
burn down the class, eat the bourgeoisie.
It's 100% a fable you tell your kids about, like, yeah, you might hate your parents, but you better listen to them, because as long as you be good, maybe you'll find someone who likes you for who exactly. you are and will pull you out of this terrible situation. But keep your head down, do your fucking chores.
So exactly. it's just like, shut the fuck up. Like, clean yeah. the rooms. Maybe you'll get a print someday if you're lucky.
So, like, I'm all for reinterpretations of classic, like, myths or stories.
Are you? Because you hated Merlin.
I liked Merlin in small parts. I didn't like what... Okay, I'm all for it if it makes more sense for their interpretation. Making fucking goddamn Mordred a random druid child makes no fucking sense. Because the entire point of Mordred is it's supposed to represent an actual mistake Arthur did. Because the whole point is Arthur is supposed to be the flawless king who has no problems, but then he makes a mistake at some point or gets tricked to make a mistake. It depends on the thing. But Mordred is a physical representation of a mistake he makes, and then also of a mistake that Arthur refuses to take ownership of. Because there are many times in the Arthurian myth where Arthur is given a chance to redeem himself and accept that he's the father of Mordred and do the proper thing, and he refuses every time. And Mordred's like, I'm your only living heir. I should be the next king. And Arthur's like, fuck you, you dirty peasant. Like...
You have no relation to me. The shame that I carry.
You should be lucky I even made you a fucking knight. Like, and so Mordred rebels, and it's supposed to be a direct, like, retribution against Arthur, making him a random druid boy who Arthur has done no wrongs to.
Yeah, there's nothing really that Arthur could have done to stop Mordred. Especially because what turns Mordred evil
is that the druid girl he likes tries to kill Arthur.
The domestic terrorist he falls in love with.
There we go.
Refuses to not follow through with it. And is like, I'll do it again, motherfucker.
And refuses to repent. It's like, this is not Arthur's fault. Ugh.
Because we're talking about our...
Just to continue with the Cinder thing. So I had to stop reading it when they introduced that Cinder wasn't actually a human, but comes from the moon, because it's an entire moon country. And the moon people have magic powers that let them cast glamours on themselves and mind control people. And then there was an evil queen from the moon who's also coming to the ball and wants to get married with the emperor of New Beijing because his father just died from the plague. Also, there's a plague that's going around, and Cinderella, one of Cinderella's stepsisters dies of the plague. It's a lot. It was too much and all over the place, and I just didn't get the theming. Because, like, sure, add one or two cyberpunk things, but if you have a proper theme, I'm cool with that. The characters make more sense. But it's just Cinder whining in her head the entire time and just being like, and then the Lunar Queen came and used her mind control on the populace. And oh no, she's going to marry the emperor or prince. Better go talk to my friend the android that I'm also a great mechanic for. But it turns out, oh my god, Cinderella might be the secret princess that was thought to be dead from the moon. It came too much. I had to stop reading it.
I feel like as soon as you hit, oh, there's moon country, that almost stops being cyberpunk in a way and starts being sci-fi with...
It started very cyberpunk with, like, because it's just like, it's a totalitarian state ruled by an actual, like, emperor and a royal family. And, like, clearly, like, she's working in a stall, like, because she has terrible owners. And also, like, she's a cyborg, so she's technically not a person. And I'm like, oh, okay. And then, lunar country with magic powers! I'm like, nope, done. Done, I'm out.
What? You sure, David?
Yeah, it's talking about literary yuck and yum. Because I started reading so much fanfiction again. People really, really need to tone it back with, like, the next. Where it's like, oh, I'm the young protagonist, but my grandmother always calls me Little One. Or, like, you know, all that shit. I'm just like, people don't talk like that. No one finishes every sentence to their grandchild as like, oh, calm down, Little One. And listen, like, no one talks like that. Your dialogue sounds so forced and inorganic. I need to stop reading this. And so I do, never to touch it again.
Listen, you just gotta be, especially with fanfiction, you just gotta be ready to drop shit. Like, you can't force your way through.
Yeah, no, I drop it. There was one that I was trying to get into. It was like a Marvel one, but then I realized they were going so hard in that I was never. Ugh. And I'm just like, nope, we're done. I don't know who the fuck you're talking about right now. You have included hyperlinks in this. Cool, good for you. And I do not understand what is happening.
Honestly, fair enough.
All right, is that everything? I think we've killed enough time that we can blow through an episode of Primeval.
Nick, do you have any media you want to complain about that you've watched recently or read, consumed?
Primeval.
Damn it!
Well, on this episode of Primeval, an anomaly in a theater brings forth, knowingly followed by...
Yes, that does happen.
Deadly tree creatures? Is that actually the TV guy?
Yeah, deadly tree creatures. Which makes it sound like they're like Ents instead of reptiles that...
Also, why are the reptiles climbing trees? Is there a single reptile known for climbing trees?
Geckos?
Yeah, but these aren't geckos. They're like weird fucking lizard things.
Yeah, I don't know what to tell you, my man. It really doesn't make sense for a reptile that big to be that active.
Lots of questions.
Just like cold-blooded creatures. They're probably not going to expend a whole lot of energy all the time.
They're certainly not going to be running around like monkeys trying to chase people.
There's a reason crocodiles are like ambush predators. Yeah. Oh boy, there's so much to discuss in this episode. Just how dumb it is. It's come crashing down. The facade is gone.
Oh man, I feel like I'm gonna have a very different. Well, we'll see after the end of this what my rating is.
Oh, no.
But like I kind of enjoyed this episode.
Oh no!
How did you enjoy this episode?
The whole theater aesthetic was fine. It was good.
Yeah, we open up on people popping through an anomaly, and one of them is very sick, but it's fine. The dude's like, they got medicine, and then she dies. Which, like, okay, then the medicine wouldn't have helped anyways.
No, if she was seconds away from death, no amount of antibiotics will save you.
But then the dude is also just like, hey, this is your fault. You fucking killed her to the second woman, which is crazy harsh, but you do you.
But I guess what they're going for here.
It's weird because it almost seems like they're setting him up, especially with the end of the episode. They're setting him up as like a...
Shot. Called shot, 100% called shot. This is the immediate vibe I got from him. She mentioned they're from Victorian England. 100% that dude is Jack the Ripper.
Ooh,
yeah,
that's 100%
that dude is supposed to be Jack the Ripper.
All right. Also called shot. New Dawn is just Terra Nova.
I was gonna say New Dawn is just observers. They're the observers.
Oh no.
All right, because, like, in my mind, New Dawn is either Terra Nova, he is going to, like, cause just, like, a complete demolition. Like, he's going to, like, basically set off nukes around the world, but find an anomaly that's far enough in the future to go there and start his own, like, cool version of Earth, like, 10,000 years in the future. Or it's just Terra Nova and they go back in time.
No, I think we were right with it's going to be power. Either.
Oh, if it's oil. If it's still oil.
I love that if we had time travel, just make oil, you fools! Go back in time and make oil!
You know you want to. It's gonna go great.
Just kill a bunch of people in the modern day, bury them in the past, and you have... Could you, like, kill a bunch of organic material, like petroleum oil?
Yeah. I mean, that's how oil's made. It's just organic material that's buried and given time, right? Pressure, heat. Turns into oil. No, that's too much pressure, too much heat.
Imagine you go to dig up your oil and it's just a new diamond mine. You're like, God damn it.
Damn it, this is worthless.
Useless. Why did I get this?
Yeah, I think while they're hiding in the thief, the tree climbers, tree grabbers, a giant reptile comes through the ARC team gets the notification about it. They all start running out. Matt's visiting. I assume his dad?
Matt's visiting the weird, ominous glasses guy who's been in the past episodes and the webisodes giving him orders. Oh. And also reveals that he's dying.
called shot. This man, this mysterious man that Matt has been meeting with, gets pushed back through an anomaly, like sometime soon. And the reason he's actually like one of the current characters that we like see or will see in the next like two episodes.
He's future Matt,
and he got. Oh, it'd be really funny if he's future Matt. Actually,
if that guy is Matt,
yeah. Oh, actually, that'd be really good. That feels like a little bit too much of a cold shot, but like I kind of love the idea of it. But yeah, no, just cold shot. This guy gets like pushed back through an anomaly, and he's upset because like it's one of these bulls that just like puts him back like into like the 50s or something.
Oh my God, it's Danny Quinn in the future.
Oh no. Please no, please don't let this be Danny Quinn.
He's Connor and Abby's future son.
No, this isn't what I wanted.
But yeah, the team's all ready to rush out, except for Connor, who's been pulled off to do tech support.
Yay.
Because the guy's like, hey, I need you to run this diagnostic, and Connor presses 5 keys on a keyboard, and the diagnostic starts. Cool. Yep. You done did it. But then back at the theater, I think Matt gets the word, he goes to the anomaly site. The woman
Matt's there first somehow, despite getting the call last.
Yeah,
I guess he's was super just down close. The street.
This shutdown theater is really close to the English. It's super far away.
Why is it a random shutdown theater that's like beautiful? I don't understand.
I mean, Fringe did the same thing.
Did it?
Yeah.
Oh yeah.
With the first time they crossed over.
Nice.
To be fair, though, that place was shut down because of the Fringe like anomaly, right? Like that place
on the other side in the red verse. I don't know why it was right. Shut down in blue verse.
Because
COVID.
Yeah, COVID.
Yes, you're right.
If Fringe was made now, COVID would be a Fringe event, right?
Would it? I don't.
It wouldn't be COVID. It would be a different. They would have their own virus. There's no way it's COVID.
It's a little too political, because yes. Like especially while it's happening, right?
Or would someone try to sneak in a secondary virus underneath?
Oh shit.
Do you think Fringe would have done a vaccine episode?
Yes, where Walter is railing against anti-vax, going, they're all safe. I've taken all of them. I made half of them. It's fine. Look, I'm gonna inject myself with a vaccine every day for a year and I'm gonna be okay. Did you see that people are claiming that the Princess of Wales has super cancer? She got a COVID vaccine.
What is super cancer?
Or like it's speedy cancer, something like that.
Okay. Like no, but okay. Whatever you say.
Really, I really hate the political discourse that's going on during our lifetimes.
Yeah.
Really wish we didn't have to live in interesting times. Gonna track down the person who wished that upon us.
Imagine what it would have been like to be born in like the 50s.
They had the Cold War in the 70s.
Yeah, but it turns out the Cold War was fine. Like with the hindsight, it was fine.
Yeah, David, but like all the stuff right now could be fine as well. Who knows?
Yeah, but also the economy wasn't in the fucking shithole, and you could afford a house and have a family with one person's income.
Yeah, that part's fair.
Like, what do you mean?
Yeah. Anyways, back to the episode.
Back to the episode.
I guess.
One of the living woman jumps back through the anomaly. Matt follows her in, and we get the greatest fight scene between man and CG reptile. Where?
Oh my God, yes.
It's just ISO shot, thing attacks, reverse ISO shot, guy defends or attacks, close up on knife, hear stabbing sound, never see any blood. They're never on screen at the same time. I think we're seeing the limitations of the budget. I don't think, other than when it grabs her around the neck, the little tree climber, which I guess I should track back. She goes through the anomaly, knocks Matt down, and then goes, fool, I don't need your help, and then immediately needs his help.
Yes.
Because the tree climber wraps his little lizard tail around her neck and starts strangling her. Which, like, she should be dead. That thing shouldn't need to, like, slowly asphyxiate you. If it could pick you up with its tail, there's enough muscle in there to break you.
Correct.
So, yeah. She survives. Matt fights it off. They're never... I don't think a CG creature interacts with a human. Everything else is just they're in the same space, but they're not physically
interacting. The one guard dies to another.
Is it on screen?
It is on screen. We see the tail wrap around him. We don't see the top half of the creature. We just see the tail.
I guess that's easy enough to practically roto.
Yes,
out
which is why they did it.
It's just
probably
a
like
noose,
just a bright green wire or something.
But yeah, we get like an argument between Becker and Abby of like, hey, the anomaly's sealed. Matt shouldn't have gone through it. We got to leave him there. And yet Abby being like, or you open it up and he can come back through.
And we kill anything that isn't a human that comes back through.
But something has already gotten through.
Oh no. Or two things even.
Yeah. Oh, there is a second one.
Spooky.
A second lizard has hit the...
Oh no, we all went for the same joke. Oh dear.
It's okay, we don't even need to finish the joke. We all already got it.
It's fine. No one talks about the third lizard in the Pentagon.
Oh no. Oh man. Anyways, yeah, they eventually open it back up. Abby does eventually convince him. With just the reasonable logic of if like we're here, we're not gonna leave it. And if anything else comes through, we have guns. This is fine.
No, they have EDMs, and we've seen in the previous episode that, hey, that's not always a guarantee.
And they don't go through glass.
Which is insane, excuse me?
No, that isn't even the most insane thing that we see this episode from these things.
What's insane is why don't they just have pistols with them as well?
Yeah, like, no.
Why can't they just also have a gun? Like, what's stopping them from having this cool electric taser and then just also having a Glock?
the most insane thing that we see from the fucking EDMs this episode is when Matt later on in the episode shoots like a pole that goes up the building carrying the electrical shock up it, and then the lizard gets flung like off of the That is far and away the most insane shit that I've seen from these yet. It's like, look, we can watch the electricity move up, and then when it hits, it's going to launch this creature. Like, this is the equivalent of, like, an insane electric shock.
It's fine.
Or I guess in this case, because it's all, like, muscle shit, it's like, oh yeah, all the muscles locked and just, like, flung him this way, I guess.
I guess? You know, physics. You know, like physics do. That's what's happening.
Exactly. Exactly. Yeah, outside of that, we get the like hospital scenes and everything associated with that as well. Where when they do eventually get Matt back through, he does bring Emily. I think her name's Emily, right?
Yeah, sure.
Emily. We're calling her Emily. Brings her through as well. They get her to a hospital. She is very resistant to interrogation, I guess. Emily. But yeah, basically just doesn't say anything of importance. We have Matt being called away. Emily immediately escapes, harming more people on the way. Beautiful thing. But yeah, Emily escapes, and she hides well and is able to hear the conversation between Matt, Becker, and Abby about what to do with her. With Matt giving the take of like, no, she's a human. Let's not lock her up like one of the other things. And Becker being like, she's not from this time. We just what else are we supposed to do?
Which I just legally feel suspect. Like,
she's not a
still
person.
But she is a person.
No.
Like,
no. David, she has no documentation. She doesn't exist.
People are still people, though. Like, if you have an undocumented person, there's processes for that, though.
Wow, you're just trying to steal an election, aren't you, you libtard?
It doesn't make sense. Like, if they had like a specific, like, if they're like, oh, we passed this bill or something, but just like legally you don't have any rights to this because they're an undocumented person, you should like still hand them over to the authorities, and there is a whole process that deals with undocumented people. Like, that is a thing that happens.
But have you considered? No.
I just don't understand the whole, like, we don't have to treat them like people. Like, yes, you do.
No, because they're Mexicans.
I mean, she's even white and has a British accent. Like, yeah, you do.
That's fair. But yeah.
And
oh, sorry, Nick, go.
Go ahead. It's all good.
I think at the same time, the Ark has gone into lockdown because the superconductor dude had Connor run the full, actually run the security test, and Rex was out of the menagerie, and it saw Rex and went, oh, we're fucked. Time to go into lockdown. And Connor
lockdown kills everyone?
Yeah, and Connor is... Connor is right. I have no problem with lockdown killing everyone. This is a reasonable security measure to take, given that Helen was able to take over the Earth previously. Like, hey, they're actually doing security upgrades. Good for you. Tell your employees the fail conditions for this test, A, so that you can make sure the fail conditions can be satisfied, and B, don't tell a guy to run a test that could kill everyone if you're the only one who can unlock it from the control room. Like, what the fuck are you doing? Oh, only my retinal scan can end the lockdown. Then why aren't you in the room when it's being run? Like,
the most insane part about this is the complete lack of, backups that this man has built into this.
Well, also, testing and production? Ooh.
Yeah. Testing in production when there's only one person who can do anything about it, and then that person not being there while it's being tested in production? Like, that's the most insane thing to me, is it's like, sure, if you want it to be, like, extra secure, you're the only one who can get in and get through all these things, that's fine. Maybe you should be running the tests then.
Mm-hmm.
Like he went to go do something else more important. Like, I don't understand why you offloaded this to Connor. Like, he could have done this or been helping.
How do you...
Like, if he walked away to go be like, I have to go do something else, you need to do this because we need this done by a certain date. It's like, no, maybe someday it'll be... Like, this was like... This didn't need to be done right away.
Can you imagine, like, I don't know, being in, like, Amazon Web Services, for example, with a for a company, and, like, someone being like, hey, I need you to run this test, not giving you the permissions to be able to revert anything associated with the test, that you run the test, and it just deletes, like, everyone's, like, everything? Like, it's just like, cool, everyone's credentials, gone. Change the root user's password, like, fully locked everyone out, and you're just sitting there
armed guards are coming to this location to shoot all of us.
I don't know.
This was, like, the most annoying part of the episode, is what the fuck are you actually doing? How are you a multi-billionaire with these kinds of decisions? You should be dead by now. But yeah, whatever, Connor hacks it in because it's built on his old security system, so he gets through the new code and is able to end the lockdown with the password, which is Abby Temple, which is his last name, Samari Abby.
Is what a nerd.
No, this is fucked up. I saw this and immediately thought of David and how much this would make him hate Connor even more.
This is pretty fucked up because we don't know when he wrote the original security code and they weren't
exactly
at the time.
Exactly, dude.
This was definitely like a Nick, or in this case David, will remember this sort of moment.
Like, this is only sweet in hindsight because you're dating her now. Yeah. Any other time, this would just be creepy as fuck, dude.
Things worked out.
If it was just like name Temple, it would have been like, wait, who's that? Like, oh, just a different girl I had a crush on.
also, from what we remember of last season, like, Abby and Connor start dating, like, 2 days before they go into the, they start to, like, have those feelings and express those feelings, like, 2 days before they go into the anomaly and are lost. There's no way that Connor had programmed this backdoor in those last 2 days.
Yeah.
No. It's 100%, like, the initial security system he developed, like, in season fucking two. Like, ugh.
Yeah, so, hey, everyone's fine. Oh, Rex almost dies, which is the most disturbing part of this episode. is seeing that little man gasp for his last breath because the air. But it's fine. I love how Connor is more concerned, accurately more concerned about his girlfriend's pet dying than his boss dying. Where he's just like, "Hey,
Connor,
Rex
can always get another job.
Yeah,
he's...
Rex needs to live, or else Abby's gonna kill me. You can die, and we'll be fine.
Can always get another job. Can't." Connor knows that, like, he's not getting another Abby. Oh man. Anyways, yeah, Connor does find the back door, or remembers the back door, solves all that sort of thing in just the nick of time. I know. Does he find Phillip's back door?
Yes, he does. Turns out Abby is the key to getting into Phillip's back door.
Oh no.
Kinky.
Meanwhile, shit's happening with the... Did she call them tree
creepers? Yes, tree creepers.
Yeah.
She did call them that. It was great.
Also does an offhanded line about how they eat them, which made me uncomfortable.
Yeah.
Because of how humanoid shaped they are.
Yeah. It's a look.
But yeah, they beat up the tree creeper. It jumps off a building and suicides, I guess, because it didn't realize it wasn't in a forest. I don't know. It just clear jumps off a building. And I really expected it to be, like, either decapitated, because I think it still had some, like, cabling around its neck that they tied it up with. But no, it just jumped off the roof and hit the ground and died. This is really a worse Amazing Spider-Man. Is what this episode is.
Beautiful.
Shockingly, the worst version of Amazing Spider-Man yet. But yeah, they do all that. Everybody's safe and sound. The woman tells Matt a little bit more how there's a bunch of people who are lost in time and they keep jumping through anomalies, hoping. And the one dude she was with, Ethan? Evan? Esteban?
Sure.
With Esteban, or am I going to look up?
Oh, his actual name is Ethan.
Yeah, okay.
We can continue with Esteban, though.
Esteban's great, though. Like,
yeah, he's especially broken. He's a dick, I guess. Whatever, it's fine.
And he's gonna be Jack the Ripper. Why else would they be from Victorian England? If you don't do this, Primeval, I'm gonna be furious.
We only know that she's from Victorian England.
They're wearing the same style of clothing. And they say they live out in the fucking non-human era fucking with tree creepers.
Season 4 called shots.
Esteban is Jack the Ripper.
Ethan, parentheses.
Esteban
is Jack the Ripper.
My called shot is still New Dawn is just Terra Nova. It'd be beautiful.
Oh yeah, Phillip, as he's passing out from oxygen deprivation, tells Connor about a secret project called New... Ah, damn. I'm so close on both my called shots in weird roundabout ways. I have Connor and Abby will get engaged, which heavily hinted at Connor wanting to do in this episode, and we will meet future people. We met past people.
That we did.
Damn it.
Almost met future people, but instead...
Unfortunately, they are almost. Past people.
Okay, I think that brings us to the end of the episode.
Yeah, pretty much. That's
basically
the episode.
We're close enough.
What?
I actually did enjoy this episode. I thought it was just a fun time. I like the I don't know. I like the whole like chasing them around like backstage at a theater. That was a good time. And I like didn't mind Emily and Ethan. I feel like I'm going to hate Ethan by next episode because his character is not going to be done well. But either way, that'll be fine. So I'm gonna give this one a 3. Yes.
David.
2.5.
Yeah.
There you go.
Yeah, 2.5. This has brought me back down to earth. Just so many of these episodes talking about them, it doesn't feel like a lot has happened. And it really seems like it's
this episode had an entire B plot. Like, this is the first episode of Primeval in a while that had an A plot and a B plot. And even then, just like fucking just so many scenes of them just chasing the lizard thing and nothing happening.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like, if the action was more exciting, I could forgive it, but it's just boring. Like, they do not film action very well.
No, they really don't.
Especially when the CG and physical aspects aren't to interact to the level that.
Yeah, it's just them running up some stairs with guns in their hands. I'm like, okay, cool, I guess. And then we cut back from that to Connor trying to hack a system. And I'm like, what? Why was that worth cutting to them? Nothing happened. Why did we cut away from this? So like, why did we cut away from the B plot? You just watch the A plot run for like a minute.
It's a good time.
Yeah. This is a rated episode. Back up. So it really seems like
I guess we will. Anything else that we want to say about this episode?
No.
All right. I guess not. I'm glad to hear that everyone thoroughly enjoyed this episode of Primeval, just like I'm sure that all of the listeners who are still listening to us now, because there's at least one of you, right? Right? Enjoyed this episode. If you did, hey, thank you. Let us know. Reach out to us, Forsaf, Forsaf at Twitter, or forsaf@gmail.com. You can send us an email as well. We do that. If you did enjoy this and you want to continue listening, you can find us on basically all of your favorite podcatching places: Spotify, Google Play, Apple Podcasts, wherever. Our home's Podbean. You can find us there. If for some reason we're taken down from all the rest of them for whatever horrifying thing we talk about next week, we'll probably still be on Podbean. I hope you have a great week. Outro.
Our intro and outro music is Dream One by Magenta 6. Licensed under a Creative Commons Attribution 4.0 International License.